So far this Christmas season, we have looked at the life of Mary with that amazing, amazing prayer, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. I got to tell you, that's an amazing prayer in itself. If we could pray that kind of prayer on a regular basis in our lives, wow, what God could do with us if we would. And then last week we looked at Mary and Joseph as they delivered the baby Jesus in a very natural way, looking for privacy and a quiet place. And yet in the midst of a natural event, we find supernatural, where God has broken into humanity. Now, at the same time that was going on, another event was happening nearby. And we're going to see that today in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and following. It's an encounter between angels and shepherds. Now, what I find fascinating about this little encounter is not that angels showed up. And you might think, well, that's kind of the supernatural part. Yeah, but God does supernatural all the time. I don't mean to sound trite about it, but he does. The angels showing up was, you know, not that unexpected, to be honest with you. But what I find interesting in this story is not that the angels spoke, but to whom they spoke. Now, we tend to have a rosy-colored picture of shepherds. We look at shepherds and say, oh, isn't that just precious? Right? We think, those are nice guys. And in fact, the first time I ever traveled over the Middle East, I was the youngest of a group of about 40. And every time we would come to a field where there were any sheep, it became kind of a joke between myself and my dad. Everyone on the bus would start hollering, sheep, sheep, and we'd have to stop and look. Now, I got to tell you, after two times of stopping, you got the same picture, okay? And the next 10 times, the picture didn't change. But the shepherds were these guys working out there with these animals. And you think, well, those are nice guys. I want you to kind of get a different picture of these shepherds today as we look at them. Because they would not have been the cream of the crop. Typically, the guys who worked the shepherds' fields were the youngest of the family. Sometimes they were forgotten. David is a good example of a forgotten son. Oh, yeah, we got another kid somewhere around here. What's his name? Honey, what's that boy's name? David. Oh, yeah, David, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the image of these guys. They're kind of forgotten, nobodies. In fact, often they were not able to attend synagogue because they worked 24/7. They had to take care of the sheep. You don't get a break. You don't put the sheep in park and go to worship. If you've ever dealt with animals, you know you got to deal with them on a regular basis. These guys were not the most spiritual, often, of the lot. But these are the people to whom the angels show up. I find that fascinating. Four things I want you to see about the passages that we're going to look at. The first is an amazing announcement. An amazing announcement. Look at verse 8 to 12. And in the same region as Jesus was born, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. You think? While God often does inner supernatural things, angels show up. I think fear is an appropriate response. Look at verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Now, with the birth of Jesus happening nearby in a cave, most likely, we find an amazing announcement and an amazing event. We're not told exactly where they were. We do know they were in the region. We were nearby, near Bethlehem. I mean, even today, as you travel around Bethlehem and in that part of the world, you will see sheep on a regular basis. A lot. I mean, there's another set. There's another one. There's another one. They're all over the place, even today. But the mere reality they were in a field, is not the amazing thing to me. What is amazing is not even the appearance of the angel. It's to whom these guys, who these guys are. One minute, these guys are sitting in the field, minding their own business, taking care of their sheep. And the next moment, an angel shows up with an amazing announcement. And the announcement is going to change their lives. I want you to see this. It's not a surprise we discover angels telling them, don't have fear. I would have had fear. But it opens a door to a conversation about this announcement. And notice, having an angel, I don't think, show up is the amazing thing. It's the words they hear and to whom they are. And I want you to notice, in the English text, we don't always catch everything that's in the original. And I hate it that it's like that sometimes. But it's a little obscure to the English translation. What the angel brings to the shepherds is good news. Now, you're going, well, yeah, good news. Jesus born. No, it's bigger than that. This is the gospel. This is the same word that's translated in other places as the gospel. So you could have literally translated this, here's the gospel. I bring you the gospel. What is the gospel? We have missionaries who take the gospel around the world. We're called as believers to share the gospel with our neighbors and our friends and our family. We give money to support missions to share the Hello, y'all with me? The gospel. What is that gospel? The word translated here, good news, is the exact same word that's translated elsewhere as the gospel. And what the angel is telling them is amazing news that changes hearts and changes lives of those who receive it. That's the good news. It changes people. He's telling them they can have a life that's worth living. You don't have to remain this sorry shepherd the rest of your life. You can be something more. You don't have to remain a life that's separated from God. You can have a life that's connected to God. And on that day, the one who would die, had been born, who would die for the sins of many, has been born. On that day, Messiah, we just sang about, the Christ has arrived with the news. The angels are saying, good news is here. The gospel is here. And he tells them, here's how you find him. Now that, we'll get to that in a minute. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to understand that God desires to move wherever he wants to move. Let me put it another way. He'll move where he wants to move. If he wants to show up and talk to a bunch of guys sitting out in a field who really weren't the most important people in the world, he can do that. When you stop to think about the activity of holy God, at times, I got to tell you, I look at scripture stories and I go, man, that sounds weird to me. From a human perspective, I'm going, why would he talk to these guys? Why would he go to them? He's chosen, we've already seen a couple weeks ago, a teenage girl, most likely illiterate, to carry Messiah to term. He includes a hardworking guy named Joseph, who, when you read over the Matthew passage, he kind of wanted to bail on the whole thing until God said, I'd like for you to be a part of that. And he said, yes. And now he shares the good news with the lowest of the low in the culture, a group of shepherds. They were not known for their virtue. They were not known for their character, at least not positive character. Many of them were known as cheats and thieves in their day. Yet what we find here is God brings the good news, the gospel, to them. See, in our economy, the lowest of the low don't get the choice jobs, do they? But in God's economy, notice what happens. He brings the good news to the low. And I want you to see the point about this story is this, is that God comes to those who least expect it and those who don't really think they will ever have anything, and he says, I'll come to you and invite you. See, when you choose to rely on your wealth, rely on your ability, rely on your talents and on your knowledge and all the things that you have, you miss it. Because God says, I'm going to go to you, those who don't have it, and bring you into it. Sometimes I wonder if we don't have the world upside down. To be honest with you, we think we're somebody's. Maybe we are. But God comes to the nobodies. See, we're going to have to figure out our place and say, God, we want to let you work, not us. So there's an amazing moment here. Look what comes follows from that. Verse 13. It's an appropriate praise. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So the announcement's been made. One angel shows up, speaks to these shepherds. How many shepherds? We don't know. Doesn't matter. There's probably more than one because it was an S on the end of the word, shepherds. Okay, there's at least two. I think there's probably a few more than that. But then things get really strange. You're going, they're not strange already? Oh, yeah, they're already strange, but now they get really strange. Notice what happens. This is not a calm conversation, not a calm statement. Into this moment, a heavenly host joined the one angel. And look what happens. Things kind of get crazy. It explodes in the moment. It's an experience like none other. And they speak what I am calling an appropriate praise here, whereby the target audience, and I want you to notice this, the one to whom they are speaking is none other than God himself. The audience of worship is one. It's God. And look at the structure of the one whereby God is praised. What's happening is they're going to praise God, and in the process, they're also going to pray for peace and ask for peace for humanity to be made. And now catch the thought here that's being expressed. The one who's worthy to be praised and the one who's worthy to make a difference in life, it's not the shepherds. It's not even the angels. Who is it? It's God. These shepherds didn't have an easy life. Listen, you think you work hard. These guys work 24/7. They dealt with sheep all the time. And every time I've been around sheep, I've never noticed that they're the prettiest smelling things in the world to start with. And they're not the brightest animals from what I can tell. And yet these guys spend their lives day in, day out dealing with animals. But when God breaks in, did you see what happened? God breaks in through the venue of an angel, and they find experience of worship. Life is changed. See, they're allowed to look into the reality of a true heartfelt worship for God. That didn't last long. It wasn't complicated. It wasn't involved. But it did flow from where? From the heart of man to the throne of God. There's an appropriate praise here. Here's what I want you to see this morning, please. God loves the praises of his people. I think many times we look at praise and we go, I can't do that. I really can't be involved. I think our definition of praise is all crazy, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to want you to see this. We've narrowed the definition of praise so small that many of us go, well, I can't do that. So therefore, we just end up not doing that. And so we don't really get to praise God. And I want you to know that's what God created you for, is to praise him. One of the primary reasons you were created was to worship God, to praise God with your life. Now, here's where we make the wrong assumption. And I got to tell you, we in the church have a tendency to do this. What we do is we say, well, appropriate praise is expressed how? Y'all should know, because y'all sit up here with these pretty robes on every week doing it. Singing. Well, that's how you praise. Right, Harold? I want you to understand that is only the tip of the surface of praise. See, some of you go, well, I don't sing very well, so I guess I can't praise God. Well, last time I checked, all he's looking for is a joyful noise, and I know some of you can make a noise. Hello? But let me help you see this. If all your definition of praise is singing, your definition of praise is inadequate. It is inadequate. You're going, huh? Is he saying we shouldn't sing in church? Didn't say that. While you can praise God through song, there are a multitude of other ways you can praise God. Notice he didn't even say the angels were singing. Did you notice that? They were saying, not singing. I think if they were singing, he would have said they were singing. He said they're saying, glory to God in the highest. We turn it to music and go, well, that's how you have to sing it. No. It's a life that changes, this change from the inside. Praise of God comes through our words for sure, but ultimately praise of God comes from where? Not from the words you sing, but from your heart. Listen, if there's anything I want you to hear about this particular point, is worship is not about the style or the type of music or the setting or the time. It's about your heart. That's what these guys are doing. They're praising God from their hearts. Glory to God in the highest. No longer did they have to be separated from God with the coming of good news, because now they've got a way forward. Look at the idea of praising God. When you minister to somebody in Jesus' name, do you know what you're doing? Praising God. You're going, well, I don't think that's really appropriate. Well, yeah, it is. It's a form of praise. When you visit someone who's sick, that's a form of praise. When you minister to someone in a situation where life is tough, it's a form of praising God, if you're doing it in Jesus' name. And so you're going, oh, maybe my definition of worship or praise is too small. Maybe it is. My challenge this morning is let it be appropriate. Spread it out. Let it be bigger. Broaden the definition beyond mere songs by us or even at us to a life that's filled with the presence of God. So an amazing moment, an appropriate praise. Now they make an altering decision. Look at verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, what's next? What's next? Isn't that interesting how life is? Most of our lives, that's a question we ask either out loud or in our heads a lot. What's next? Some of you are thinking, church will be over. What's next? Which restaurant are you going to today? Whichever one you go to, can I challenge you? Be sure and tip very generously because they know you're a church member walking in there. Don't be cheap. That's a freebie, no charge, not even in the notes. Back to the notes. What do they say? Let us sit and contemplate this idea for a while, maybe discuss it in a committee meeting. Is that what he said? No, look at the text. Let us go. We can't sit here. We got to do something. Well, who's going to watch the sheep? I don't know. Low man on the totem pole. You stay and watch the sheep. We're going to go see what's going on. I don't know who watched the sheep. Somebody had to stay, I guarantee you. Doesn't say that. But let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went slowly, took their time, hurriedly, with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Look at the first two actions have passed. The shepherds are faced with a decision. What's next? So the angels go away from heaven. They go, what's next? And their decision, I think, was a pretty easy one. Let's go on a road trip. Let's go. You want to go on a road trip? Let's go. Let's go see if this is real. Let's go see what's going on. Let's go see what if what we've been told is true. I don't think they're far from Bethlehem, to be honest with you. I think they're right there in the region, maybe a mile or two, three. God had sent them word of an amazing event, followed by this explosive praise by angels and by them. And they just have to go see. And so they quickly go as they can to find this baby. Now you're going, well, that must have been tough. I don't think so. Go to any small town and say, anybody seen a pregnant woman lately? Right? Ladies, if you hadn't noticed, it's kind of obvious when you're pregnant. Right? And they would have said, well, let's find that baby. And they found him. And in a small, sparsely populated area, a new baby born, there weren't a lot of them. So she goes and finds, they go and find, and they find a feed trough with a baby in it. That's kind of an obvious answer. But I want you to see the essence of what they do. Not all the stuff around it, but centered on the word, go. They said, we've got to go. We've got to go see. We've got to go experience. We've got to go be in the midst of this situation. We want to know. We want to see. We want to be there. And their response to the word of God is to move. Let me tell you something. God asks you to respond when he comes to your life. You go, well, he came by and I didn't, whatever, we're good. No, listen, the only appropriate response when the God of the universe comes to the edge of your life is the same response, by the way, that Mary gave. She said what? Be it unto me according to your word. Oh, the same response that Joseph gave. We didn't look at this story, but if you read it in Matthew, you see it. He said, yes, Lord. Yes, I'll go. I'll hang in here. You know what's interesting about these people, even the shepherds, is they don't argue with God. They don't go, well, but God, you're saying I could do this, but I really think a better way to do it would be this. Let me give you a better suggestion, God. Really? You're gonna tell God a better way? Hello? Y'all with me? Why would we do that? Why would they do that? They didn't do that. They've heard the news. They go, okay, what's the next step? Let's go. Okay, God, we're going to go here. Let's go see this thing. And once they've heard the news, they begin to take steps in their life to see what God was doing and where God was at work and to try to join him in the midst of his plans for life. And instead of trying to understand it, they say, yes, yes. Listen, that's the call I want so desperately for you to see here this morning. God is not only at work all around you, because he is, but he's also in the process of inviting you to be part of his plan. You say, well, but I'm not a pastor, and I'm not a deacon, and I'm not a Sunday school teacher, and I don't sing in the choir, and I don't have this talent, and I don't have that talent. I want you to know, if you've met the Lord Jesus Christ, he has invited you to be part of his plan. You're going, I don't know what it is. God does. God does. He's got a place for you. He will not force you to follow him. He will not say, you have to. Here, get over it. He will reveal to you himself as much as he can at the point, as much as he needs to at the point, to give you the information you need to say, yes. You say, but I want all the details out there. He probably won't give them to you. But I want all the plans and where it's going to end up at. He probably won't give it to you. He's just going to say, follow me. I can imagine our mission couple, when they first accepted this call from God to be overseas missions. It didn't include the country, did it? Didn't include the place. Didn't include the housing arrangements. Didn't include having a child overseas. That would have been two overseas, yeah. It's interesting how when God moves, you don't have to have all the details if it's God moving. So why don't you say yes to God? Why don't you say yes to God and let him move in your life? So an amazing moment, an appropriate praise, an altering decision. So we're done, right? Oh, the story comes on. Look at verse 17. And when they saw it, now what did they see? A baby in a feed trough, okay? When they saw it, and they saw that Mary really was there and Joseph really was there, and they saw this circumstance they were told existed. They have, you want to use the word proof? They got it. When they saw it, what did they do? They made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. Don't blow past verse 17, because that's really the focus of what's happening here. They spoke. They had to do something with the information. Verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Those guys have kind of lost their minds. They said there was a baby, and I went, what in the world? Don't. Look at 19. But Mary, don't forget her. We'll come back to her in a couple weeks. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds, what'd they do? They went home and never spoke of this again. It was a great mystery and a secret that no one could be told. Y'all reading the same scripture I am, right? Okay, just make sure y'all with me. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Now we see the next steps in their lives. Here it is again. What's next? They've gone. They've seen. They've experienced. They've seen the baby. Now what's next? That's always the question, isn't it? What's next? You know, Bugs Bunny always would say, what's up? It's kind of the same question. I don't know where that Bugs Bunny came from. I watched a little Looney Tunes with my daughter this week, probably is where that came into my head. What's up? What's next? What's going to happen? They got this information. They're beginning to take steps of faith. And so they've seen this experience. So what are you going to do about it? Oh, nothing. Really? They talk. You know, human nature is such that we talk about those things that are important to us. Did you know that? If you want to find out what's important to you, put a little recorder in your pocket and listen and record yourself. You're going, ew, I don't want to hear myself on tape. Well, but listen to what you talk about. That's what's important to you. If you'll listen to people around you, you'll find out the most important thing in their life is what you're talking about. Notice the direct outcome of the lives of the shepherds. They made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. That's a fancy way of saying they got to talking about Jesus, sharing about his change in their life. I want you to grasp this. They could not encounter the divine and remain silent. They had to speak. And so they left the encounter with the Christ child. What will happen to them? Their life was never going to be the same again. Now you're going, well, I never have seen anything in Scripture about the rest of their story. No, they don't. They just disappear from the Scriptures, but their lives were changed. So we can safely assume something happened to them at this moment because they began to talk about it and began to share about it and began to speak about it. And notice they couldn't even stay in the same spot where the encounter happened. They had to move on. And it seems to... in the Scripture, at least, some other people have heard them talking, and they're kind of going, I think they've lost their minds a little bit. They believe that this Jesus, this Messiah, this one is here. Notice what they didn't do. Their response was this. It was in speech and in praise and in a resumption of life. Notice what they didn't do. Well, let's go build a monastery somewhere and build and become a monk, and we'll hide out. And you're going, well, we don't do that. We're Baptists. Yeah, we do. We just do it in here. We bring our Christian faith in here, and we're Christian in here, but then we go out there, we leave a Christian back there. We have an astounding story to talk about. We have something to share. I want you to grasp this one more thought here. God wants to lead you, not just lead you, but lead you where? Forward. What does he have for your life? You're going, I don't know, I'm going to show up and give a little money and give a little of my time and I'm done. Let me tell you what, if your definition of what it means to be a child of God is contained within the four walls of this room, coming and singing a few songs and listening to a guy talk about Scripture, and that's it, your definition's too small. You have an astounding story to tell. Do you believe that? If Jesus saved your soul, you've got something to talk about. If Jesus is part of your life, you've got something to talk about. If Jesus is part of who you are, you've got something to talk about. When you consider the shepherds or Mary, what you see in their lives is a shared theme. God is leading them forward in their journey. That's what I want you to see as we finish up this morning. The God of the universe has a unique faith journey for you. Now, it may have similar elements to those around you. You're going to do some of the same things. You're going to have a lot of the same things in common. But there's going to be something for you that's a unique piece that God has designed for you and you alone to do. You're going, well, but I'm nobody. In Christ, you are somebody. In Christ, he has something for you. The only way you're going to find what God has for you is to do this. Take a step forward. Say, God, I want to try this. I think this might be the area. This might be the place of service. This might be the place of ministry. This might be the, I don't know for sure, but I think it is. And you take that step. You're going, but what if I fail? Welcome to my world. I fail all the time. You know what? If you're not trying, excuse me, if you're not failing, you're probably not trying. You know, I don't want to be a failure. I didn't say you were a failure. I said you might fail. There's a difference. I'm a child of the King. I'm somebody, not because of me, but because of his presence in me. Right? And so we want to get out here and say, well, I'm going to try it. You know what? I've tried some things in my life that I have really failed at. I don't have time this morning to talk about all of them, nor do you want to hear them all. Amen. I like that. But understand this, holy God has the ability to work in your life in one way and another person another way and a third person another way, and he wants to accomplish something in your life, and his direction is going to be forward every time, and he's going to draw you further down those steps, further down that road, further down that process of serving, and the question is going to be, and this is the big question for today, will you listen to his voice and say yes, or will you listen to his voice and say no? Some of you here this morning, here's what it is. You don't know Jesus. You go, this Christmas stuff's great. This church stuff's great. Man, everybody seems to be kind of nice around here, but you know what? I don't know if I know Jesus. If you can't recall a moment when you gave your heart to Christ, That's step number one. For others of you, it is you have made that commitment, but you need to make a public commitment, a public stand, and say, I want to stand. I want to share with somebody, a safe group of people. This is Jesus. I've met him. For others, maybe it's a call that says this. You've never identified that call for your life. Maybe there's one of you here this morning that maybe God's speaking to you about a particular call. Maybe vocational ministry. Maybe missions. You're going, really? Yeah. Maybe you need to make a connection to a church. I don't know. But whatever it is, until you say yes to what God is leading you to do, you won't find the next step. You got to take the first step, wherever it is. Jesus came to lead you, listen, to greater things. Greater things he has for you. Will you say yes to him? Father, we thank you for this day and your word. We thank you for this amazing story of men who, honestly, in their culture were nobodies, but you included. Father, I pray that we would be people, regardless of our status, would understand that you love us and you have a plan for us and a purpose for us and a direction for us and a particular service of area of service for each one of us. Father, I pray for those who need to make some type of decision this morning. Lord, some need to meet you as Savior. Some need to share that they have followed you. Some need to become part of this fellowship. And Lord, there may be some here this morning who have a call on their life in a particular area that you want to lead them. I pray that you'd help them see that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.